He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." I imagine the people in the synagogue in Capernaum on that Sabbath were a lot like the people who have populated synagogues and church sanctuaries from the beginning. A lot like us. On the one hand, they're there to hear a word from the Lord which just might make sense of the disparate pieces of their little lives. God's word is deathly dull, it will be enough to go on. We'll come back. Whereas prophets are wreckers of the status quo, whose words let loose the dangerous presence of God on a world grown dull and indifferent to God's purposes. And if a visiting prophet should show up to ruffle the congregation's feathers once or twice a year, no matter. The prophet's breathless impatience with injustice provides a sort of vicarious, limited experience of solidarity with the poor and outcast. Yet without the need really to do anything more than be amazed and express appreciation for the message at the door. Quite a challenging word. A lot to think about. Hope you can come again, they say in the narthex. Knowing that the prophet is moving on, and the slightly dull second-rate scribe will be unrolling the scroll next week as usual. But on this Sabbath in Capernaum, the one who stood up to teach was neither a priest managing God's word, nor a prophet mouthing God's word. And God's Son, the Beloved, in whom God's reign had come near. Mark says that the congregation initially was astounded at his teaching. Yet they were astounded not at what he taught, but how he taught. For he taught as one who had authority and not as the second-rate scribe. What does that mean? The Greek word for authority means out of one's essence. Jesus' authority was not an authority conferred from the outside by religion. He was not an authorized interpreter of God's word. Jesus' authority was not even the authority of one who had been chosen by God to speak God's word as if the sky were about to collapse. He was not a bona fide prophet. Rather, in his person, in his essence, God's reign over evil and death had begun. Right then and there, in his word, in their little synagogue. When Jesus entered in, God's presence, God's promises, God's future drew near. He himself mediated the immediacy of God. Mark says, again, they were astonished. But I do not think the congregation had a clue about the cause of their astonishment, save for one in the crowd. Only the odd man out in the congregation really realized who Jesus was that day. Or rather, as is the case throughout Mark's gospel, it was the demon, the unclean spirit, the evil one about to be defeated, who knew what it was up against, and so called Jesus by name. "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" the voice shouts from out of a man who otherwise must have been one of the synagogue's regulars. Where were the ushers? Where are the ushers when you need them? Then the Spirit called Jesus by name. "I know who you are, Holy One of God." With God's reign of love encroaching on the territory heretofore claimed by the unclean spirit in him, whatever life-bending power that had hold of this man knew that the jig the flaming up and the extinguishing of our passions, in our sloth and zeal, in our inexplicable stupidity and astounding cleverness, in the conflict and concord of classes, peoples, and nations, the demons are there. I do not know what unclean spirits have taken up residence in the depth of your soul, which you regard as properly your own and none of my business. If you think there are none, you are the most deceived. I do not know how much territory you have ceded over the years to whatever fear or obsession or hatred or anxiety or suspicion or even self-righteousness that keeps you from living the life you have been given by God to live. I only know that the occupiers of these hidden depths of our soul will know long before our socially acceptable selves know that Jesus has come to destroy them. This, of course, is the good news I have for you as your second-rate scribe this morning. I am here simply to point you toward the Holy One of God, who is no less alive today and here than he was long ago in that synagogue in Capernaum. He has come this morning to destroy whatever is separating you from God and from one another. But more, for he is also walking through our city's streets, our nation's capital, our planet's ruin, where the unclean spirits of opioids, of gun violence, of greed, of racism, of inequality, of sexual abuse, of human trafficking, of poverty, of disease, of bigotry, and of hatred are crying out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" And here's the daunting news this second-rate scribe has for you this morning. We are his body when we walk those streets and into his sanctuary. He has given all authority to us, even authority over unclean spirits. The community of disciples he began gathering long ago in Capernaum is this community now, sent into the world to live as though God's reign has begun, as though death has no dominion, as though the territory once occupied by unclean spirits is being conquered by his love, all evidence to the contrary. When we walk through those streets in his name, the demons should be crying out, "Have you come to destroy us?" Because in his name, we have. You know, imagine this of us, and then remember that on this Sunday morning, you were led by a second-rate scribe like me, prepared to teach you today's portion of Torah, afraid to be too prophetic in these divisive times, and so powerless to set you free from the demons within. Unless by his grace, these inadequate words and this font and this table should point you to the Holy One of God, in whom God's reign has come near to destroy you and save you. Thanks be to God.